Today's reading is from the first chapter of Luke, verses 39 to 45. It can be found on page 1026 in the Church Bibles. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Joy, thank you so much for that. Chris is going to bring us our talk now. And just to say, if anyone's got children, it's wonderful to have them. That's great. Over in the corner over there, we've got various things for the children to do. So if the children would like to go over to that corner, that would be great. And so on. Let's pray now for Chris. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Chris. And we pray now that the Spirit of the Lord will fall afresh on him and will speak through him to us all. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our ears to hear you, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. So my name's Chris. I'm a member of the community here at Christchurch, and I'm training at Trinity College for ordained ministry. Now, we have 2 days to go until Christmas Day, and I wonder, how are your preparations for Christmas going? Let me tell you a little bit about the preparations in my family. I need a prop for this. So I brought along this rather ordinary looking cardboard box. This is actually the Brown family Christmas box. 11 months of the year, it sits up in the loft. And early December, or maybe late November, if my daughters can twist my arm to get me to go up the ladder and remove all the clutter off it and blow the dust off it, I bring it down. This year, I did that really quietly with no one noticing. Now, put it on the table in the front room. As a family, so Esther, my wife, and I and our three children, we tend to hang out in the kitchen and the dining room. So I thought, this will be fine. I'll just see how long it is before someone notices that the box is now down out of the loft. And within an hour, my two daughters were busy rummaging through the contents and emptying them out of this box and decorating the front room. So it didn't take long. It contains stuff like baubles, strings of beads, lights. But then some more sentimental items, like decorations that have been made by people we know and love, sometimes with a message on them that is particularly poignant, cards that we've kept because the message carries some blessing in it that is particularly special, and an Advent calendar that we've been using since the children were tiny. It's one of those ones with the little Velcro shapes in the pockets that you pull out and stick on and make a picture. My children are now nearly all teenagers, and they still enjoy this because it speaks to us as a family about our journey through history, through different Christmases. And it struck me as I was preparing this talk that when I ask that question, how are your preparations going for Christmas, we think about immediately the external stuff, where we're going to be, who we're going to be with, whether we've got the presents, the food, the decorations, all of the stuff of Christmas. And yet, Christmas is a celebration. It's a celebration of the most momentous event in the course of history. The moment where God became Emmanuel, God with us. Where God became incarnate, Jesus. That is what we're celebrating. And so really the question I'm asking myself and each of us this morning is, how are your preparations, your internal, your heart preparations going to be in the presence of Jesus, particularly this Christmas time? Let's keep that question on our minds, because the reading that we've heard today, that meeting of Mary and Elizabeth, gives us so much to think about in terms of our own preparations for being in the presence of Jesus. It's an extraordinary meeting, because it's not just Mary and Elizabeth. It's also John in Elizabeth's womb and Jesus in Mary's womb. It's a meeting happening in the presence of Jesus. And we're going to draw out two things from Elizabeth's response to the presence of Jesus. But before we do that, a little bit of background. Excuse me a moment. So just to set some context for this reading that we've heard. 6 months prior to Elizabeth and Mary meeting, Zechariah, that's Elizabeth's husband, he is in the temple on his own making an offering at the altar of incense, and an angel appears to him. The angel Gabriel says to him, right, you Zechariah and your wife Elizabeth, who were well on in years, is what the Bible says, you're going to have a son. Now, Zechariah's response to this is disbelief. He said, well, this can't happen. And so he ends up unable to speak for a time. Clearly something extraordinary is going on here. Elizabeth gets pregnant, and she accounts it to God. So she is full of faith and trust in God for the fact that God has given her a son. 6 months later, Mary is alone, has a visitation from an angel, Gabriel again. He says to her, you are going to be pregnant. You're going to bear a son. And she says, well, how can this be? He said, well, it's going to be a miracle. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and you will bear a son who is none other than the Son of God. This is huge stuff. And Mary's response, unlike Zechariah's, is to say, be to me, God, as you say. I'm willing. Whatever you say, God, I'm your servant. Now, we might not catch in the story the enormity of that decision and the courage it took. Because for Mary, she was betrothed to Joseph, and immediately she would be suspected of being unfaithful to him. And so at best, it would have meant that people would have pushed her out of the community, pointed fingers at her, gossiped at her. And perhaps more likely, and at worst, it was her life that was at risk. So that's the context. We then pick this account up after Mary has made a journey of about a week to go and see her relative Elizabeth. We're not told why she went. I wonder if there's a whole range of reasons. It could be that she wanted a place to go where she was safe. Maybe a person to go and speak to whom she trusted. It may even be simply because the angel Gabriel told her that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant and she wants to go and share in her joy. We don't know. But what we do know is when these two women met, the meeting is extraordinary. Mary comes in and greets Elizabeth, and as Mary greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth's response is not what we would normally expect. It's not, oh, hi, Mary. Something much more dramatic happens. Now, before we look at that, let's just look a moment at Elizabeth. Her and her husband are described as devout, God-fearing Jews, blameless in keeping the laws and statutes of God. They knew God's word. Elizabeth would have known the prophecies of old, talking of a coming Messiah, talking of one who would save her people from their perspective. Maybe it was the Roman oppression, but would save her people. Now, unlike so many of her compatriots who were blinded by looking for a conquering king coming in to free them from Roman rule, Elizabeth is attentive to the presence of Jesus. And that's the first thing I want us to notice about Elizabeth, her attentiveness to the presence of Jesus. So when Mary says hello, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the baby in her womb leaps. Now, maybe nothing unusual about a baby in the womb at 6 months pregnant moving, but there was something distinctive that got her attention. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, she is then spoken to by God to tell her things that she couldn't have known on her own. Because halfway through that reading, we heard, she says, "Who am I to be so favored that the mother of my Lord would come and visit?" Just think about that phrase, the mother of my Lord. So she's just realized that Mary is pregnant. She didn't know that. And that the baby she's carrying is the Son of God. And so that means this is the promised Messiah. And that means that this baby is her Lord. All of that Elizabeth has just been attentive to and been rewarded by seeing something that so many other people didn't see. She's the first person in the Gospels to acknowledge the presence of Jesus. So that's her attentiveness, but it doesn't stop there, because Elizabeth, not just attentive to the presence of Jesus, she is active in her response to the presence of Jesus. She speaks three blessings. The first two blessings are over Mary and Jesus. She says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women." That word blessed there, it is to say that you are especially favored, especially privileged because of God's favor. And it's a blessing that is an enduring blessing. It's saying you will be especially privileged, especially favored for all time by all people. And the same blessing is spoken over Jesus. And blessed is the child in your womb. Those are the first two blessings. The third blessing she speaks is specifically to Mary. She says, "Blessed are you because of your faithfulness, because you obeyed the word of God to you." Now that word is the same as we see in the Beatitudes, where it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That word means to be filled with joy, to be full of abundant life, to be happy, but a happiness that is all-consuming. So it's saying, because of your faithfulness, this is to a woman who was a teenage girl, maybe 14 or 15, because of your faithfulness, your courage, your willingness to trust God, a decision that we know put Mary in danger, you will be abundantly blessed, full of joy, because of what you've done. And it's a blessing that confirms what the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary just earlier. Yeah. So what does that all say to us, though? We've got these responses of attentiveness to the presence of Jesus and an active response to the presence of Jesus. And the fruit of that is these amazing blessings spoken over people. And I wonder if that really is the message to us as we prepare our hearts for being in the presence of Jesus this Christmas. Can we be, by the power of the Holy Spirit, attentive to the presence of Jesus in the lives of those around us? Can we be on the lookout for where we might see Jesus' presence in people where we don't expect it? Now, God will speak to us by his Holy Spirit. And just as he spoke to Elizabeth, will tell us where the presence of Jesus is. But can we not stop there? And as we are aware of the presence of Jesus in situations, in people, in different moments through this Christmas time, can we be those who dare to listen to God, hear his words, and speak his blessings over others? People for whom Christmas might be a time of sorrow or hurt or loneliness, could we be those who hear God's voice and bring his word of blessing into someone's life? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you bring your blessings into the lives of people through each of us, that you give us the words to speak and ask us to speak them, that you give us the actions to do and ask us to do them, I pray that this Christmas time, each of us will be attentive to your presence and willing to speak your words of blessing into the lives of others. Amen.